Living in the Land, Commentary for the December 13, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then an Israelite man brought into the camp a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear into both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. Numbers 25, verses 6 through 8. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to serve as church pastor, local elder, church board chair, school board chair, personal ministries leader, youth leader, and several other positions of responsibility within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Those experiences have often provided me with spiritual growth and memories that continue to speak to me decades later. I continually read through the Bible from cover to cover, and certain accounts bring to my mind certain of those memories, some more vivid than others. As our lesson quarterly reiterated the account of the sins of Baal-Peor and the activities of the priest Phinehas, I recalled a time when I was serving as chairman of a local nominating committee. As we were dealing with the nominations for church office for the coming year, we arrived at the list of deacons. This was a position that was often hard to fill, as it could be very labor-intensive, involving caring for the church plant and grounds. It also has spiritual import with Stephen's martyrdom in Acts chapter 7, seen as the epitome of what a deacon should be. This is a little unfair to deacons, as the Bible tells us, of no other deacons who rose to such a level, focusing instead on Paul, Peter, and others who were apostles, positions of more spiritual authority. Stephen is a tough act to follow and adds to the reticence to accept the position of deacon. But with understanding and support from the pastor and the congregation, we usually manage to find those who are willing to care for the church and its grounds. But this particular year, things headed in a different direction. One of the women on the nominating committee was related to someone who had been serving as a deacon, and he was up for consideration to continue in that position. He had watched a football game on the Sabbath, and they had fought about it. Now she wanted him removed as deacon over the issue. I reminded her of the council in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, and that nominating committee was not a disciplinary end run around Jesus' counsel. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. When asked if Jesus' counsel had been followed, she stated no, but wanted him removed from office anyway. I advised her that we could table the matter until the proper process could be followed. Another person on the committee who had political influence from family employed in the conference office demanded a vote on the woman's request. And the name was removed, and we scheduled a final meeting to complete the business of the nominating committee. Afterwards, I tried to get the accuser to follow Jesus' counsel, but since she had already obtained her vengeance against the man, she refused to. At the final meeting later, the person who demanded a vote did not show. Deeply troubled by this treatment of a brother who had been condemned on the testimony of only one witness, and who had not been dealt with according to Jesus' counsel, I expressed my concern. Someone moved that we revote the matter, and was voted to reinstate his name on the list, pending proper process. When the person who did not attend found out, she felt her authority threatened and demanded she, I, and the pastor meet. I explained my position, and I asked why no one was willing to follow the counsel of Matthew 18. She left frustrated. Since a pastor was a denominational employee, she had leverage she felt she could use, but I was not. I could not be compelled to go against Christ's counsel, and the pastor remained neutral. But vengeance will have its out, and someone, again ignoring the counsel of Matthew 18, secretly went behind my back to accuse me of the appearance of sin. Putting pressure on the pastor through the conference office, I was removed from the position of elder. Soon after, the woman who likely did this advanced her own husband to the head eldership. The pastor said he had been considering me for that position, although he had never revealed that to me previously. That and the vindictiveness of the accuser and her position of influence with the conference made it impossible for him to proceed with that objective. The new head elder came to me to ask me to return to the eldership, but since that could be seen as endorsing a refutation of Christ's counsel, I demurred. Instead, I was freed up to continue building this ministry, begun in 1997. It has grown to a digital presence in over 120 countries and has over 100,000 visitors to our website per year. Had I continued to be entangled with local political infighting, I doubt the Lord would have been able to bless Stillwater's ministry so greatly. What has all this to do with the Sabbath school lesson? It is a lesson in how dangerous people become when they consider their will and God's will to be the same. Such people see the actions of Phinehas in murdering sinners in the camp of Israel as an endorsement of any harsh treatment they care to mete out to those they consider more sinful than themselves. It is a major reason the glory has departed from much of modern Christianity. We are more concerned with beating down sinners through harshness than we are with building up the destitute with compassion and empathy. In my years of ministry since, I have encountered too many who suffered similar abuse at the hands of self-righteous church members. Finding something at Stillwater's ministry that they do not find in their local churches, they have helped this ministry to grow by their prayers and referring others to us. Even greater evidence of the Lord's favor is that we have grown thus without financial support from others. We refuse donations if offered, as stated in our donation policy at our website. Despite that, some who have not read the policy have sent large donations, but we have returned them with a letter explaining that we do not accept donations. We take our example from Elijah, who was instrumental in God healing Naaman the Syrian from leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman offered gold and fine garments to Elijah to pay him for the healing, and Elijah refused, feeling this would diminish the glory of God. But Gehazi, Elijah's servant, who felt Elijah was wrong not to accept payment, secretly went after Naaman to ask for payment, which Naaman gladly agreed to. But for his temerity in doing so, Gehazi was cursed with Naaman's leprosy. It seemed to us that to diminish God's work by seeking donations would also diminish his glory and bring to us the curse of Gehazi. For almost 3 decades, that model has served this ministry well. During the 1980s, when the Seventh-day Adventist Church was in tight financial condition and struggling to field an adequate number of pastors, I asked the local ministerial secretary why they did not utilize lay ministers as a force multiplier to carry the work forward. He replied that it is about control. They can control a paid clergy, but not necessarily a volunteer lay ministry. It was then that I learned that the purpose of money is to control others, and I vowed that only God would control Stillwater's ministry. There will be no begging for or receiving of donations. As Asaph the prophet, speaking for God, proclaimed, "Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall, or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it." Psalm 50, verses 7 through 12. Who can provide for this ministry, and who better to control it? I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. Psalm 37, verse 25. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find a written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find there links to books written by the author, as well as other articles and sermons. Once again, that's Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.